Damn Muti.
Dean arched an eyebrow.
Huh?
The Mercies are discussing us.
She didn't lift her head or motion in that direction. Her hearing was much better than a norm's, and while she was missing the occasional word, most of what the Mercy said was perfectly audible.
Not favorably, I would guess.
J.B. ripped apart some bread. Taking a bite, he frowned, but chewed and swallowed anyway. Acorn bread. Dark night he hated the stuff. The trader used to love it, and often went out of his way to get more of the delicacy. J.B. would trade his away for cigars, or spare brass, or anything else available.
They're talking about chilling us to get our blasters.
Wham!
Jack chewed on a bit of overcooked rabbit. He started to spit it on the floor when he saw Lily glancing his way while she was storing the bottles from the wall shelf. She winked, and the teenager swallowed the inedible bit of fat and smiled as if the meal were fit for a baron.
Soon. They've also been watching how much we've been drinking.
Ambush?
When we go to the lav.
Christy wiped her mouth clean on a pocket rag.
Thought as much. We hurt their pride, and now it's a matter of honor to get us. Triple stoop fools. Okay, if they're going to do a night creep, then we choose the time and the place.
Well, this table is no good.
JB ran his hand over the surface.
But the one behind us should do.
Agreed. Jack?
Uh-huh.
The teenager paused in the act of picking his teeth with a sliver of wood. Lily was beautiful, but apparently couldn't cook to save her life. He damn near broke a tooth when he found buckshot in the meat.
Go flirt with the barmaid, and warn her there's going to be a fight. Nothing we can do.
And dally a bit. Don't make it seem you're just there to deliver a message.
Gotcha.
The teen rose and walked casually to the bar, smiling and radiating charm. Mildred measured distances with her eyes.
Tight quarters. Not much room for maneuvering.
Out of sight below the table, she took JB's hand and gave it a squeeze. He replied in kind, maintaining the contact for much longer than necessary. Ryan ladled more stew into his bowl to make it appear they weren't going anytime soon.
Better here. Outside, their numbers would work against us. 12-7 at the best odds. But we'll be ready long before they start to leave, and then...
There they go!
Dean pointed with his wet spoon. The Mercies across the room were rising from their two tables, pulling on heavy coats and murmuring among themselves in guttural voices.
Move fast, people.
Ryan took the lantern from their table and placed it on the fireplace mantel. Quickly, the companion stepped free from the confining bench and table combo, moving to other tables for protection. Turning away from the cheery fire, Ryan watched the departing men head for the front door and loudly said,
So, you're going to ambush us in the alleyway, are you?
Already past the plywood, Philippe jerked his head back into view with a shocked expression.
Shitfire, boss. They know.
Ace them!
The companions ducked for cover as the first fusillade of rounds hit everything near them. The solid redwood table bucked and jumped from the impacts, but no holes appeared in the thick planks. The barrage stopped for a tick, and JB fired the Uzi in a long burst. A line of holes crawled across the plywood barrier, splinters exploding from the furious assault of the 9mm rounds. One man grabbed his face and spun away, spraying blood. Another dropped to his knee and clutched a wounded leg, still fired his weapon.
Corner!
Philippe shouted, and the Mercies retreated quickly. Their leader grabbed the lantern, and the others flipped over the old table and used it as a shield as the Mercies backed into the corner where nobody could get behind them.
Man!
Jack was at the bar. The teenager leaned over the counter, holding his huge cold python in both hands. The powerful .357 pistol spoke three times, the big bore wheel gun punching holes straight through the replacement pine boards and the repaired table. A screaming man stumbled into view, clutching the ruin of his belly, his hands full of writhing intestines. Christy took careful aim and shot him in the heart, and the corpse slumped to the floor in a spreading pool of red fluid. Sitting on her medical bag to keep pressure off her foot, Mildred sniped at the others with her ZKR target pistol. Dean aimed for the floor, trying to hamstring the Mercies, while JB and Brian maintained a steady holding fire. Trapped, Philippe's crew could do nothing until the barrage of lead eased enough for them to chance fighting back. Switching the selector pin on his two-barreled Lamar, Doc triggered the monstrous hand cannon, its black powder roar deafening in the confines of the spacious room. A foot-long tongue of flame reached out from the pitted muzzle, and a fist-sized hole appeared in another pine board. A gasping Mercy stumbled into view, moving backward, and went out the window in a crash of glass. Instantly, a bitterly cold wind blew into the bar as a woman began to scream outside. With one of his dead crew propped in front as cover, Philippe was firing a MAC-10 machine pistol through the narrow slot between the table and the attached bench. But the blaster constantly stopped, and he kept working the bolt to clear a jammed round from the ejector port. Oddly, he seemed to be aiming for the fireplace mantle. Slamming a fresh rotary clip into the stire, Ryan realized the man was going for the lantern, trying to start a fire and force them into view.
Cover me.
The companions began wildly shooting as fast as possible, forcing the others into hiding for a moment. Moving fast, Ryan stood and swept the lantern into the fireplace in a single movement. The glass basin shattered as it hit the burning logs, and the oil ignited into a raging fireball that swelled out into the room for a single heartbeat. Then the flames died down to normal.
Fuck this!
A wiry man darted from the corner, heading for the riddled sheet of plywood trying to escape. Slamming in a fresh clip, Dean snapped off two shots, catching the Mercy in the boot. Yowling with pain, the man went down and started crawling for the door until Christy finished him off with a round to the head. Bottles burst on the wall behind him as Jack emptied his Colt into the table, making lots of holes in the soft pine, but no scream sounded. The Mercies had gotten wise and were avoiding the weak spot in their defense. Then a man dived under a nearby picnic table and kicked it over. Safe behind the solid redwood planks, he dragged the heavy furniture toward the damaged table.
They're fortifying their position.
JB reloaded the Uzi with a spare clip from the ammo pouch on his belt.
We have Brens.
Christy thumped fresh rounds into the cylinder of her open wheel gun. She eased the loaded cylinder shut and clicked back the hammer looking for new targets. Long blaster to his cheek, Ryan fired a fast five times at the moving table. He didn't get penetration. That was the very reason he chose to fight inside. The 100-year-old redwood was a hell of a shield.
Can't use explosives.
Ryan worked the bolt and inserted another clip.
The concussion would kill us, too.
Not necessarily.
Mildred lowered her piece. Peeking out from around the side of the battered table, Doc fired once more with extreme care. His Titanic Lamar held 9 shots, but then took minutes to recharge, and he was down to 3 remaining loads.
A bait and switch?
Doc waved the barrel to disperse the volumes of acrid smoke pouring from the hot maw of the blaster.
Sure.
Do it.
Ryan passed Doc the loaded rifle and drew the Sig Sauer P226 from his belt. Holstering her weapon, Mildred took the grenade from her pocket, unwrapped the tape holding the arming lever in place, then stood and threw the unprimed military charge. The sphere bounced off the side of the fireplace across the room and neatly rolled behind the enemy table.
Gren!
A man screamed, backing away from the explosive. The silenced 9mm pistol coughing softly, Ryan shot him in the chest as the rest of the Mercies raced away from what they thought was certain death. JB got 2 more with the chattering Uzi, Dean wounded another in the shoulder, and Doc blew away the gun-filled hand of the fourth. Suddenly, a limp man dived clumsily for the window, and everybody concentrated on stopping him. At the same moment, Philippe made a dash for the exit from the other end of the long table, hosing lead from the MAC-10 and wildly firing somebody else's revolver. The bastard had thrown a corpse as a diversion. Ryan trained his blaster on the fleeing man when a blur moved across the room and the handle of a knife sprouted from the throat of the Mercy chief. Clawing at the hideous wound, crimson pouring down his shirt, Philippe stumbled against the wall, and the companion shot him enough times to make sure he stayed down, the body jerking like a mad puppet under the concentrated barrage of flying lead. As the assault slowed, Philippe fell face forward onto the dirty floor, driving the blade out the back of his neck. Blasters clenched in a death grasp, the dying leader of the Mercies twitched once and went still. Walking out from behind the bar, Jack crossed the room, kicking spent shells musically out of his way. Flipping the dead man over, Jack retrieved his knife.
Any more?
Ryan slammed a fresh clip into his blaster. JB straightened his glasses.
One hiding in the corner. See the blood trail?
Sitting at a table, Doc took this opportunity to start cleaning the chambers of his weapon prior to recharging. Burned gunpowder rained to the floor like black snow as he purged the holes with a brass brush.
Come out, you. We want to talk.
Ryan walked in closer. Some bullets spilled into view from behind the bullet-ridden table as the trapped man fumbled, trying to reload his weapon.
Oh, shit!
Suddenly, a thunderous discharge shook the room, rattling the windows and ringing the brass bell suspended above the bar. Spinning toward the new